This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hello, world. Welcome to Millennial Pep Talk. I'm your host, Chris Crockett, a.k.a. The Millibot. Joining me is my co-host.
Hi, I'm Esther Polito, a.k.a. The Baddest Broad, the producer.
On this podcast, we'll be talking about pop culture, life, and work, all from the perspective of millennials, which just happens to be the best generation ever. Okay, let's kick things off with introductions. So again, I'm Chris, currently based out of Atlanta, Georgia. I want to claim that I'm a good old Southern boy, but I was born in California, and then I lived in Chicago, and I did a short stint in Portland, Oregon. So altogether, I guess I'm really a city slicker. I love overanalyzing things. I'm the friend that will pause the Netflix movie so we can discuss what just happened. Career-wise, I've been working in the energy space from the start as an engineer. I'm interested in renewables, sustainability, and resiliency planning. But more than that, I'm interested in driving things forward, strategizing, and making change happen.
And I'm Esther, originally from the great state of New Jersey. I'm currently based out of Pacific Northwest. I'm the in-house foodie, crazy dog lady, and vintage millennial. My professional background is in energy and transportation, mainly as a PM, VP, and co-founder in the nonprofit startup space, which is actually how Chris and I met about 5 years ago.
I cannot believe that it's been that long. Anyway, theme of the podcast is all about the millennial experience and point of view. I'm considered a younger millennial, and Esther will try to claim she's an old lady.
Yeah, I'm ancient.
Listen, we're both millennials, and I think we work well together because we think similarly and we have that same generational context. We've decided to start a consulting business together, and that's going to be its own ongoing story. But we're just a couple millennials trying to unravel our baggage and trying to make it. The dream of the 90s is alive in both of us. Think R&B, big shoulder pads, brick cell phones, but also white Reeboks. We're trying our best to navigate this crazy world, and we're inviting you to come along.
Yeah, it's a great time to do a podcast. There's so much going on and lots to talk about. And I'm guessing our listeners, all 30 of our friends, can use a bit of a pep talk right about now. You could think of us as your millennial BFFs, here to help with all of life's small and big questions. Like, what gift should I get my mom for Mother's Day? And how to respond to that passive-aggressive email from an annoying coworker?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Esther. And it feels pointed exactly at me. This is actually going to lead nicely into our next segment. So today we're probably going to talk about icebreakers. This is a personal pet peeve of mine. Terrible icebreakers, because you don't actually get to know each other when you're doing icebreakers. I think they suck, but
it depends.
Maybe we'll get through it. I think this is going to be exposure therapy for myself, for you, Esther, and for like our audience who are listening in, who have never really put too much thought into icebreakers before. I want us to come to a conclusion at the end of this episode and say, like, here's how you do a good icebreaker, you know?
Oh, maybe, Lord.
Maybe you won't feel that way, but I feel like I will come to a conclusion.
Okay.
So that's what I want to do today. But before we do that, I just wanted to ask you really quickly, you've done podcasting before, so what draws you to it? And you know, why are you excited about Millennial Pep Talk?
Yeah, I've done two other podcasts in the past, which is kind of hilarious because only one of them made it to air. The first one was really very similar to the experience we're having right now. It was around COVID.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
A lot of things had gone on. The incident with George Floyd happened, unfortunately, and my friend and I were feeling not great about life and everything else. So we just started talking one day and I was like, okay, maybe what we need is like a project. So we can just like have an excuse to just get online. We really were recording it on Zoom. And so we'll just have an excuse to kind of like get together, do something together, kind of help each other out. It was almost like therapy.
Yeah.
But it was my friend and I, Mo, who I actually interviewed in my last podcast, would sit for like 45 minutes and just talk on Zoom. And I think we did this a few times. We did maybe like 12 recordings. None of it made it to air because we would just get on Zoom and we would just start cracking each other up. We would just be doing inside jokes for 45 minutes. And I like quickly recognized that I'm like, nobody is going to want to listen to this.
There's an audience for that.
No sense.
There's an audience for it, Esther. I think.
Yeah, but it was great for us just to be able to connect as friends, just to be able to like talk, you know, kind of like support each other and kind of talk through some things that were really like heavy stuff. And we both kind of have very similar dark senses of humor, so we could kind of just bounce off each other. So I think that was really helpful during that time.
Okay.
So that's kind of what initiated that podcast. I think that was set up for failure from the get-go, but it was still a fun exercise just for me and my friend. Like, I think we got something out of that.
Okay.
And then the second one was really The Bad It's Broad. So I did that for about a year. A year ago? A year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. But that was my personal project because I had recognized that I had zero creative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
It was negative. It has been negatively affecting me like forever. I just couldn't really understand what it was. And that was it. It was having no creativity in my life, no avenue to be able to express myself in that way. And how I missed writing. I miss collaboration with my friends. I really wanted to have my friends on and like interview them about, you know, their background and their lives. So once I started doing that, it opened up like another door for me to learn like editing and what all this audio stuff means and video and thinking about that. And by just going through that process, I automatically felt better in my brain by giving myself the room to just write.
Yeah.
I would just be like writing for hours at a time. That made me feel really good. It was tapping into my creativity again. It really helped me out in like big and small ways.
Mm.
The creative juices flowing, and it helped me kind of understand how my own creative process actually works and how I could like leave room for that. So I really enjoyed it.
And then of course the last thing is I just want people to feel empowered. And sometimes that is creating a space where we can just hype each other up. I don't think anybody does it better than millennials. I don't even think Gen Z does this as well, like hyping people up, gassing people up, giving people that pep talk, you know? So I really want to.
That's really interesting.
I was going to keep that under wraps for a little while, but the cat's out of the bag. I think millennials are the best. You know, we've gone through a lot, but we're recovering. This is a hot take. If you disagree with me, please let me know. We're going to start taking questions at some point in our journey with this podcast.
We're going to have a lot of hate comments.
Yeah, send me some hate. Let me know what generation.
And it's not to say that it's a lot, you know, the Gen Zers, and this is just me because I do see pure potential in people, right? And I'm like, it's not to say that these people don't have the potential to be better coaches and to be able to hype each other up. I just don't think they have been provided the opportunity or the wherewithal.
Yeah.
And they exist in such a specific time frame that it's like, I'm not sure they know what that even looks like because the participation in organized sports have dropped quite a bit over the years as well.
Right.
In that generation. So,
yeah, it definitely does feel like the newer generations are a little bit more fragmented, which is not a bad thing in some respects. Like, I do respect that Gen Z, like, they are rejecting a lot of traditional things, which I really appreciate. They're a lot more independent. Those are things that I've learned from, right? I have cousins that are Gen Z. I think all of my cousins are Gen Z. So I've learned a lot from them. I've learned a lot of lingo, which I will probably try to...
Oh, is that why you use all those emojis that I don't understand? I'm like, what is this?
And listen, if we show those to my cousins, they'll tell me I was using it wrong. So it is what it is. So yeah, I think that ultimately what we're trying to do here is build a community together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to hype each other up. It is not exclusive to millennials at all, even though that's in the name. It's just that perspective that we're coming from. Esther's kidding. So let's move on, though. Let's talk about icebreakers. So I'm going to give us a prompt, Okay. This is not just simply us asking each other questions back and forth. I also want us to grade each other on like the quality of the icebreaker. Right.
Oh, so I mean, you're really going to make this personal now. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I see what we're doing.
And the reason why we're doing this, this is actually like me kind of getting back at Esther a little bit. She's been doing a lot of icebreakers. We work together, just FYI. And she does a lot of icebreakers, which I think a lot of people appreciate. But I come in as a curmudgeon every time, and I'm like, why?
Every time.
What
every
is
time.
I hate this, you know?
It but wasn't even it. My idea to have the icebreakers. Well. It was other people, and I was like, okay, we could do that. And then I just went on the internet and typed in icebreakers.
Yeah.
So what you hate is essentially the internet.
I hate
whatever
the internet.
Other people have put into the internet for icebreakers. And yeah, they are kind of cheesy.
They are
and maybe
cheesy.
They're not really even breaking the ice or doing what they're technically designed to do, but yeah. It's just silly and kind of stupid. And I don't think anybody takes it as seriously as you do. Maybe it's really your problem.
It might be my problem. Maybe we will discover that today. Okay. So for the next few minutes, I want us to like, just, yeah, go back and forth. So you give me an icebreaker question. I'll answer it and I'll tell
you.
No,
wait. I do have a list.
And I'll tell you whether or not I like it. So one thing about Esther, she will always come prepared.
I am very prepared because I have been watching this series on the, what is it called?
Mm-hmm.
It's Stanley Tucci series.
With
All Birds. Why am I blanking on the name of the series? But they get together and there's food.
Mm.
And then they have these cards in front of them. So I've been stealing. If I could find my notes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been stealing some of the icebreakers because I was like, wow, these are just good kind of conversation topics.
And I guess to wrap this back into like community building or being good friends and stuff like that, I guess like when you're getting to know people, I guess you do have to like break the ice, right? So sometimes it probably is a good idea to just ask a crazy question. And maybe you won't get to know them better, but at least like it'll make them a little less defensive. Like they'll open up a little bit more. And maybe that's the point of an icebreaker.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. I'll come to a conclusion by the end of this episode.
Okay. I have a few good ones. I'll start with, are you a lone wolf or a pack animal?
Okay. I'm going to tell you right now, I actually do appreciate this question because first of all, that's just funny. It just makes me think of what the kids are talking about this day. I'm like, are you a Sigma or an Alpha? Like,
oh my God. I am so tired of that language too. Cause I was like, the study that they're actually quoting in that does not relate to humans.
Yeah.
So they've really taken something and ran off with it. And I was like, that does not apply to us, by the way. And the way you're thinking about this is not going to take you anywhere good. So I don't know why we've really globbed on to this. Cause I hear that from men particularly. It's like, well, I'm just a lone wolf. And I was like, yeah, but you're not, humans are not designed to live by themselves forever.
Yeah. So you actually just answered my question for me. I think that I tend to do a lot of stuff on my own. I don't prefer to though. I work really well by myself, but it's just like you're saying, right? Like we need community. I mean, that's part of like the secret sauce, I think, in like having a good life, living longer, like you should aspire to find your pack, I guess. And so like that is important for me. I can turn on the lone wolf thing if I need to, but I think I am a pack animal. Yeah. Okay, that was a good one. That was like an 8 out of 10, Esther. See, she doesn't bring these out for
you
like,
can thank the people at Allbirds. Whoever wrote these questions, I don't know.
Okay, here I'm gonna give you one that I know you're gonna think is terrible. Actually, maybe not. You might actually be able to answer this, but just know that I chose questions to try to annoy you.
Oh yeah, I could already see it.
So again, I'm gonna give you the prompt. You're gonna answer it. You're gonna grade it, right? And tell me why you liked it or didn't like it. Okay. So my question to you is, what's your ultimate anthem song?
For my life or just in general?
Just for your life, yeah.
Oh, yeah, my life one is easy. You already know my life one. I've shared that in the past. It's a Peggy Lee song.
It's the what?
Well, it's a Peggy Lee song.
Okay.
Originally by Peggy Lee. Shout out to the original cool girl, Peggy Lee. It's a song called Is That All There Is?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, you did
which
tell
really,
me.
Which really tells you everything about my personality, because the chorus and the hook just asks us, like, you know, she goes through all kind of, you know, the phases of her life as a young girl, as a, like, a young woman, as an adult, and she talks about, like, seeing a fire, going to the circus, experiencing love, and then at the end she asks, is that all there is?
Mm.
And if that's all there is, then you might just, you know, you might as well just keep dancing.
Yeah.
Have a ball. And that's my general, you know, attitude about life. I was like, you know, it's probably not going to be as good or bad as you think it is. But regardless, you should just have a drink and have a good time.
Okay. I definitely appreciate that. I mean, it could seem like it would be a depressing answer. But then when you answer it,
no, the song kind of sounds a bit like
it would be, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's go over to you. One more question from you, and then one for
yeah, you're going to love this one.
Oh, God, here we go.
What's a path you almost took that could have changed your life?
Oh, wow. You know what? There were a lot of forks in the road for me, you know?
Mm.
Did I ever tell you this? When I went to college, I was planning on majoring in the classics instead of physics. So,
I wasn't aware of this. I knew about the physics piece.
Yeah. So the classics is pretty much the opposite of physics. You're using a different part of your brain. You're learning Latin, Greek, you're reading all of, like, these classic epics, and you're learning about, like, philosophy. It's really, like, something that, like, a lot of, like, gentlemen, high class, high society people, like, they would take the classics, right? And it would mm-hmm. teach them about leadership and how to be, like, a person in the world, right? And I was always very interested in that. And then I got through like 1 year of it. And then I feel guilty saying that this is the thing that influenced me, but I read Atlas Shrugged by Rand. Yeah, I know the libertarians like Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a libertarian, by the way. But anyway, I read that book and I was like, okay, listen, I've been given this brain that can actually do science and math. Like, I'm pretty good at it. I was always very good at it. Mm-hmm. Why am I not doing it? And so, like, that was a fork in the road for me. That changed my life. Like, who knows what I would be right now if I didn't.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah. Maybe I would be a professor. I don't know. So
I'm
going to direct that question back to you, actually, because I'm curious. So, yeah. What was, like, a moment in your life where, like, your life could have gone completely differently if you made a different choice?
You mean the other two times I could have gotten married?
Busting this out, huh?
That would have been interesting. No, I think life offers all kinds of different paths for you, and it's very similar to there was a point in my life where there's so much pressure to be a nurse, to be this, to be that did not appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how or why I had it in myself to say, it's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go out and figure out for myself, leave New Jersey
mm-hmm.
and figure out my own self and find that path and carve it out myself. Like, that, even looking back, was pretty ballsy.
Yeah.
Because most of my friends, and this, I don't know if this is the way you think about it, but, like, most of my friends were born in the same place, will probably live within a 25-mile radius of the same place,
right.
and will probably live the rest of their lives and die in that same place.
Yeah.
And I just did not see myself really doing that. Which, in hindsight, there's some things that make me sad because I'm not close to some of my loved ones.
Mm.
So when we, you know, think about, like, regret and should I have done that? But I knew deep down inside that had I not left New Jersey, particularly Parsippany, New Jersey, where I grew up, around the people I grew up with, who I love and adore, by the way. But I knew I was never going to be myself. I was never going to reach my full potential. I was never going to have the room to be able to really establish who I am and be able to make the necessary mistakes to really learn about who I wanted to be. You know, that was scary. But I to this day, I'm really glad I did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just no way I would have been able to really arrive at the same place where I am right now had I just, like, stuck around and did the same. Went to Rutgers.
Yeah.
Got a business admin degree. Live in New York. You know, it's like there was already kind of a track.
There was a
that
path.
Everybody else was taking.
Yeah.
And even the thought of going to Rutgers. Okay, that sounds like high school 2.0. Why would I want that? there was nothing that really appealed to me about doing what everybody else was doing. I don't know why.
But I wonder, like, what does that alternative universe Esther look like? Like, I wonder the type of person she is. I mean, probably less of a risk taker for sure, but probably still quick to speak her mind. I think that probably will be consistent with you.
I don't think that changes in any version of me, honestly.
Interesting.
I'm not sure I would have been happier. My life would have been different.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it would have been necessarily better. Some pieces of it would have been better because as far as proximity to my loved ones, I think that would have been it. But yeah, I think a lot of people feel this way too, who's ever left home. If you just understand that environment with those people in that place and time was not going to get you to the place where you ultimately want to be.
Okay. So to wrap up this section, I just want to tell you what my theory was at the beginning of this. So my theory is or was that icebreakers suck when they force you to think back on stuff because it's not fun to like have to think back on things like when you're a kid. Like, for instance, like icebreakers about childhood memories and childhood smells and childhood sandwiches and stuff like that. Like, those are never fun. But the one that you just did was actually pretty good. So I think my theory just needs to be tossed out. I wonder if it is just a matter of like being a little bit more thoughtful about the question that you asked, because there are like little superfluous things that we could talk about, like what's your favorite food or what's your favorite color, but it doesn't tell you anything about the other person. But questions you asked actually were pretty good, and we learned stuff about each other today. Okay, well, Esther,
it's really funny how much you hate those questions too.
Well, Esther foiled me. I didn't hate those. I didn't hate the ones that you did today.
Yeah, but some people, smell and food is such a powerful thing in the human experience, because there's a piece of it that's like time travel. And particularly when I think about the food growing up, and that's what people recognize. It's like the mac and cheese that your dad used to make, because that's what all he can make. But now it means something. And when you have that mac and cheese, it's like time travel. You're traveling back to a time in your childhood. So that's why I think of those things. That's like, you know, those core memories are so powerful. But the way you think about it, which is always really hilarious, is like, why are you asking me this stupid question about my childhood?
I mean, you made me feel something for a moment, like something stirred for a second when you were describing it. But the opportunity to do that, right, comes when like you are intersecting with people that are not exactly like you. We can learn from each other.
Stop using these big words.
We can. Oh, stop it, Esther.
These intersecting words that confuse people. Well, it's just been used in a very specific way by very specific feminists.
This is
and it's very triggering to some folks.
Okay, right. And be a little bit elitist, and I try not to be that
way. Just a little.
Yeah, so all I'm trying to say is that there's opportunities for us to build community together. It's something that just seems like it's been breaking down since COVID, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want that to come back. And if we can just be, you know, as egotistical as this is, like just beacons for a few people to come together and start thinking about ways to build community locally, to build an online community as well. Like, those are things that I want to do. And so this opportunity to talk about different topics, different things that we're seeing in life and friendship, at work, and trying to come to like some conclusion about how to make it better for people.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, it's one of the things that I have been thinking about quite a bit, particularly in the Western world, America.
Mm-hmm.
Community is not built in. We're not designed to be able to build communities or find it, even in our environment and physical space. So how are we going to be solving for some of these things where it's almost like the biggest challenge is to just be able to find somebody else to connect with in a reasonable manner, design or build our way out of this.
Yeah.
But it is an issue. And I hear so many folks talking about like how isolated and how lonely they feel. And it does make me feel really sad and a bit spoiled as a millennial, because the first 25 years of my life, it's like my community was just built in. Like, I didn't have to go out of my way to seek it out.
Yeah.
And now we do have to put in the work to be able to like leave our house, go to this spot, make the plans, talk to the people, have to put yourself out there, practice some communication skills that we haven't been using in the better part of over 5 years or so.
Yeah. And I think that those are things that we want to talk through, right? Maybe there are no easy answers, but to me, the easiest answer is to just try, right? Giving up is the issue, right? If you give up, if you end up like rotting in your bed and doom scrolling like that, that is the opposite of what we need. We need you to get out and try. So we'll talk about that more, but I really like the way that you've described this and, you know, all of your memories, all the things that you've accomplished in your life. Like those are things that I want to learn more about. So selfishly, I'm excited to delve into these topics with you. So to wrap up today, you know, we talked about a few things, right? We talked about what we're trying to do with Millennial Pep Talk. We're actually doing this, Esther.
We're doing it.
Podcast together. We're going to do
this.
This
is us doing it.
Okay. And so season one, you know, we're going to have a theme, I think, for every season. And I think for the first season, it has to be community. I know that that's broad. I know that there's ways for us to like segment that, but it's going to be community, right? We're going to talk about what we like about community, what it means to us, and ways to start getting that feeling back, right? Post-COVID, right? When everybody's feeling a little bit separated and isolated, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's wrap up for today. So we talked about horrible activity of doing icebreakers, though, of course, Esther proved me wrong on that and that there are good icebreaker questions. It doesn't completely suck, okay? And it's a good way to start getting to know each other. So I think we've concluded that. And then we've also talked a little bit about what we want to accomplish with the podcast. So next episode, I think we're going to dive a little bit into work culture. So we're going to talk about the millennial grind set, what that means and how we can get ourselves out of that mindset so that we can start thinking about community and connecting with people. Well, listen, this has been the first episode of the Millennial Pep Talk. I have been one of your hosts, the Millibot. Or the millennial robot. It's short for that, Esther.
I'm sure like you're just trying to make fetch happen right now.
I know. I might change it every episode. And Esther, signing out, what's your moniker? The
Baddest Broad.
I want to say
the University of Alabama.
The Baddest Broad. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us on the first episode. I hope that you join us in season one where we talk about community. Like and subscribe, everyone, and do all that fun stuff. Thank you.
Bye.